What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The G7 meeting closes with the Financial Times report. Joe Biden's prediction of an imminent thaw in U.S.-China relations was quickly followed by a reminder of how much tension still exists between Washington and Beijing. This is the FT reporting out of Hiroshima, Hong Kong, and Beijing. It goes on, within hours of the U.S. president's words at the end of a G7 summit in Japan on Sunday, China ordered a swath of its infrastructure companies to stop buying from U.S. chipmaker Micron Technologies. I welcome Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Stephen Yates. Steve helps us understand the quandary of U.S. policy with regard to China for the America First Policy Institute. Gordon, I begin with you. Were you surprised at the retaliation immediately following the G7 summit, the timing of it? Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. No, I'm not, because China made it very clear it was upset at the G7 language that was issued on Saturday in the communique across a whole range of sectors. The language, I thought, was not robust enough, but clearly it upset Beijing. And with regard to Micron, Beijing has been signaling for some time that it was going to do this. It was just a question of when. And so we shouldn't be surprised that China decided to lash out right after the end of the G7.
Steve, you have experience with this region over decades, and therefore you can assess the weight of remarks that may or may not have been intentional. Right now, the Chinese retaliation about Micron Technologies is clearly intentional. This is trade war. There were other remarks, however, by the president and others these last days at the G7 summit that suggest this is more than trade war. This is genuine deploy the military, get ready for a conflict war. What is your measure of the G7 this time? We're told that the G7 was unusually direct at China and its interference, intervention, brutality across the area. Do you believe this is a different kind of G7? Good evening to you, Steve.
Oh, good evening, John. Unfortunately, I don't really have very much faith in what the G7 was talking about. And at its core, it's really what the president of the United States and his team were trying to sell, which was this notion that they were going to de-risk U.S.-China relations instead of decouple U.S.-China relations and trade. And the Chinese immediate response was to decouple on semiconductors. I mean, this was not by accident at all. It was very likely thought well in advance. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs in China gave a very detailed and lengthy rebuttal to the G7's communique a day before the communique was issued. So they had been thinking and talking for some time about how to frame this. And of course, they deployed significant materiel around Japan. They had sorties that went around the territory of Japan. So did Russia. So that the two powers that are adversarial toward the United States, the West, the free world, they were doing their best to send their signals. And of course, having the Ukraine leader come and talk about things just reminded people that your European allies are not, in fact, on board with what the United States says its strategy is toward either of these countries. We have disarray with regard to how to deal with Russia on economic and strategic issues. Macron, among others, has shown that we also have disarray about how to deal with China on national security and economic issues. So this wasn't the celebration of unity that the communique and the president of the United States sought to convey.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, it appears that whatever was in that communique was going to anger Beijing. Are we at a point right now where the West is just unable to confront what is happening in the world? It just seems that there's an air of unreality and that President Biden just does not comprehend the world the way that it is. Your comments.
Well, I do think that there is this air of unreality. There's a problem. I mean, really, what it is in some ways is a mirror imaging of Marxism. Under Marxism, you just say what you want your reality to be over and over and over and enforce it with brute force until it becomes some semblance of reality. And I think we have some leaders in the United States, but not limited to us. We have some elements of this in France, Germany, England, and in other places, where our leaders are looking past obvious problems with China. We have Jimmy Lai as a very prominent political prisoner in Hong Kong. You think that the British government would speak more directly and clearly about something like that. We have the genocide in Xinjiang against the Uyghurs. You'd think that those who deign to speak on human rights would speak up about these kinds of things. And of course, we have this other kind of aggression. Xi Jinping is just a very different kind of Chinese leader. And most of our experts and the leaders they advise just don't want to accept the fact that Xi has already chosen a course. Our only choice is whether and how to respond.
Symbolism, Steve. 78 years ago, the decision was made in Washington by a few people, the president among them, to make Hiroshima the first target of the first atomic bomb dropped in anger. A bridge in Hiroshima where the president and the G7 leaders, I believe, gathered for ceremonies during their G7 summit. Is that a message that China heard, Steve? Is that an understanding that China needs to come to, that the West will fight?
Well, I think that there's a larger message in the Hiroshima bombing that really doesn't get talked about very much. And it's the travesty that this is how far the free world had to go to stop totalitarianism. That when we have rogue leaders with power and military capability, almost nothing is going to stop them other than the most extreme demonstration of force against them. I hope it would be a wake-up call to the Chinese people that they should not want to sacrifice this much on behalf of a rogue and unrepresentative leader of themselves. That would be a rational kind of lesson to be learned. Unfortunately, I think the way the symbolism of Hiroshima plays out is American apology, and I think the Chinese government spins that very effectively.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Steve, short of the China launching an attack or a war, what will it take on the part of Beijing to get the United States and its partners to act robustly?
Well, I would have thought that the string of events we had till now would have been enough. You would think that the COVID health and economic impacts, the lying about it would have been enough. You would think that genocide would be enough to tickle the conscience of a lot of leaders. You'd think that the economic warfare would be clear. And then the wolf warriors and obvious willingness to pick fights on behalf of not just Xi Jinping, but the diplomatic arms of the CCP, and then the fake police stations and trying to sow dissent in our own countries. All of that I would have thought was enough. And so sadly, Gordon, I have a hard time answering the question, what would it take? I worry that it would take something very, very dramatic, painful, and expensive. But if it gets to that point, that is the historical lesson the Chinese should have studied, that an American awakened to such a thing always rises and comes with awesome force that no other country in the history of mankind has ever been able to withstand.
An analysis of the G7 communique, this is FT reporting, the G7 communique points the finger at China in every dimension. All right. That's one kind of metaphor, pointing a finger. The president used the word thaw. Is that significant to you, Steve? Because there have been a lot of articles, I've read them all as much as I can, that this is not a Cold War, that this is not a new Cold War, that you note in the Chinese attempt to arbitrate in some fashion in Ukraine, in their points to discuss, the second one was, this is not a new Cold War. Is the president telling us it is a Cold War? That's the metaphor of thaw suggests.
Yeah, they seem to want to go back to a Kissingerian version of detente in the Cold War. That seems to be the center of their thinking. That is probably the decisive geopolitical moment for a lot of people of the president's generation. Unfortunately, I think there were some errors made in that we continue to pay dearly for today, at least in terms of U.S.-China policy, maybe more broadly. The other part of that detente effort was the profound economic weakness of China during that time, and the fact that it wasn't embedded into the global system or our own national fabric at that time. I don't think this option is available to us now with a determined leader in China that wants conflict. Maybe he does or does not war. I am not clear about that, but certainly wants conflict and certainly wants to take the United States down a notch.
Stephen Yates is chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.